It's the music of Second Axing. They're on the line with us right now, and they is Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. And I had your CD on in the office this afternoon, and I was trying to make the inevitable comparison that you, when you hear someone singing, who do they sound like? And I still can't put my finger on it, but I know that there's an artist out there in the back of my brain that I can think of, but I can't come up with her name. Janet, who do you think you sound like? Who have others compared you to, maybe?
Well, I have heard, one guy at a show that I did, this I thought was funny, said I sounded like Janis Joplin, which I didn't think at all. I think I've got, I don't know. I think I have a little more soul in my voice than the average singer, usually. Something George Michael E-esque, I guess. I don't know.
Can I make a confession? I never really liked Janis Joplin's voice. It was scratchy and whiny.
Yeah.
Good music, but she didn't have the prettiest voice of all time.
Yeah, and this is what he was saying that I reminded this guy of. And I'm like, really? I thought I sounded a bit clearer.
You should have thrown your drink on him or something. Something like that. Well, John, you're the music side of this on the performance side, and that poses, as we stated earlier, its own unique set of problems. But you guys do host a open mic night. Is it every week?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
they're going through some work right now on the bar, so we haven't been doing it every week just recently because they're doing construction work. But yes, it was a weekly open mic show.
Well, I used to love to go to open mics with my fellow musician buddies, but I work nights now and I can't. I was always a great time, especially if you're a musician and you have a big set list and you can play a lot of stuff. Once you reach a certain level, those things are really, really cool. John, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about who are some of the better guys that show up. You know, you get your, I would imagine, you would get some folks in, you know, you'd see on a regular basis, and some are, maybe you have some outstanding players that show up.
Well, we're kind of in an out-of-the-way place for open mics. It's not a real big thing there, so we don't see a lot of the same people over and over again. We have had guys, one guy come up there, and he was it was amazing. I mean, he got up there, and he just said, all right, you don't want to do a set? Go on ahead, just sit up there. And he did probably five or six songs in a row. Of course, he played in the band. And we have actually had full bands come in for an open mic. Metal, speed metal. It was pretty surprising. They came in with the drums and all their equipment, and it's like, okay, we'll just move our equipment aside, and do you mind if we use your equipment?
That always makes it nicer for the audience, too, because the audience doesn't want to sit there for a half hour, 45 minutes, while the next band does a sound check. It's just not good for your audience.
They would set up and they would do a set, and then we'd go up there and we'd do our open mic thing while they were moving the drums. Basically, everybody used the same electronics. The only thing they used was different drum sets.
As it should be, folks. Let's keep it moving. We had six bands in 4 hours at Mount Union College last November in a theater concert setting. Six bands. Complete setups and teardowns in a four-hour show, and we didn't miss a lick because we did the same thing. We used, all the bands had to use the basic system.
Right.
Yeah, the drummer could use his foot pedal and his snare drum, and the keyboard player could use the stand, but, you know, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, guitars don't take too long to hook up.
No, but they had to use the amps that were there. You know, we're not rolling in amps.
Oh, yeah, as long as you're not moving all that stuff around, it takes no time at all, and that's really what was happening there.
Do you get,
you know, the big thing though is you're sitting up there and you're offering your instrument for somebody to use, so you're always in mortal fear that whoever is going to go up there and grab it is just going to start thrashing on the thing.
John, I was just going to ask you that because some people are very, very close with their instruments. There's like a spiritual connection between their instruments and other guys. They're just a piece of, it's a utility. It's an appliance. And there you go.
His guitar, he has a 12 string. And he had, because he was getting used to playing a 6, he pulled some of the strings off. So the guitar has 8 strings on it right now.
Mm.
He's even got a license plate that says string 8 because his guitar has 8 strings to it. And people would come up to play And they were like, wow, this is really interesting. I'm playing on an 8-string guitar here. So,
that's really a bit unique.
They said Jimmy Page could do that, too, on the electric.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. You got this instrument that it's your baby, and you got some person you don't even know up there.
Yeah, are they going to break it? It's just a big concern.
Maybe you should invest in a pawn shop special that you can put up there. Hey, I've seen some great buys at the pawn shop for $60. You know what I'm saying? Then you wouldn't have to worry about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We got two more things we want to run before the hour expires here. The next thing we're going to run is I'll let you introduce
from the open mics.
There we go.
Because people would come in and ask about, is this for poetry? Because they like to hear poetry in open mics. So we would start to read to music. So what you've probably got there are a couple of tracks from the live performances at Sing Your Life. The pieces were called More Than We Should Have and Scars 97, which I think is kind of funny because our web address is scars.tv/x.htm. So we've got a couple of pieces from the live Sing Your Life performance art open mics.
And here we go.